Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Grand hey, shalom, rising. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Grand
shalom.
Rising.
Shalom.
Grand
shalom. Rising. Shalom,
hey, shalom, family.
Shalom, Israelites.
Grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Peace and favor. Grand rising.
Amen.
Miss Brea, you sound better.
Girl, I was hawking all night. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, can you rub my back, please? Can you rub my throat? Can you rub me? Please get this out. You know, women, people are like, can you
need some TLC, huh?
Right, I need some TLC. Men are big babies. They're like, baby, I'm hurting. Massage me now. Women are like, babe, help me. They're like, here you go. Pat, pat, pat.
Bible study class, our brother Isaiah Brown, out of Peoria, Illinois. If you don't know, you better go.
Now you know. Cuckoo!
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
Phenomenal work, amen.
Man, big ups, man. Friday,
Holy Spirit really been working through you, brothers.
I was fired.
Yes.
Indeed. Today's another five precept. No pun intended, but the precept. The kindling on the Sabbath was the kindling fight. The fire kindling on the Sabbath was a metaphor or no cooking. That's a question. The fire kindling on the Sabbath was a metaphor or no cooking. This is a question. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's rhetorical. We're going to wait to hear what the answer to this one is. So with all of that being said, we're going to turn this over to our brother Isaiah Brown. Shalom, Mr. Light.
Hey, shalom. Hey. Hey. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. Grace and peace, family, for the third day straight, all praise to the Father. All glory go to the Father. Everything goes back to Him. And we're just humble. I'm humble enough to allow the Father to allow me to present you guys, to present myself in front of you with the things that He has shown me according to what's written in the pages of the book. So thank you for tuning in to the Morning Breakfast Brunch, which is a.k.a. live, in case if you hear me say nighttime at any time, you already know. We live. I'm just used to doing my lessons at night. You know, all praises. But yeah, y'all, you know, it's a blessing to be on this Bible Blog Talk radio show, you know, because the Lord has been really opening the book up and revealing Himself to us. And, you know, and the best part about it is that we're humble enough and we try our best not to boast or brag or to be arrogant with the things the Father has allowed us to bring to the table. And I think that's one of the reasons why He is continually and constantly working with us, because we always glorify Him. And if it wasn't for the Father, we won't know anything. It's not about glorifying no man. It ain't about none of that. We don't glorify men, but at the same point of time, as the Lord said, let somebody else praise your work. But then when they praise your work, you give right back to the Father. We all understand and we all recognize and understand that. But, you know, according to the scriptures, man, it's a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, because a lot of things, you know, and to be honest, you know, I honestly and truly believe that the precept that will be brought forth today, I truly believe that it's going to break yokes and break bonds, you know, because it's not attacking people who brought it a certain way growing up that we all know with the kindling fire. You know what I'm saying? It's not pointing a finger at them trying to degrade or debunk them. It's not that. It's just the simple fact is that the Lord is going to constantly keep revealing more things to us. You know, because the Lord said knowledge shall increase. So we've been talking about this whole fire kindling and sparking up no fire for the longest. But the same point in time is how many times spread through the scriptures the Bible said between two or more witnesses a fact is established. If it was that important, the Lord would have made sure He had all them prophets doing that. You know, He would have had Nehemiah. He would have had Ezra. He would have had Jeremiah. He would have had the prophet Isaiah. He would have had the prophet Joshua. He would have had the new apostles. You would have had Jesus Christ. You would have had Paul, John the Baptist, the 11 disciples. You would have had so many people that would have made sure that you knew 100% that you're not supposed to be kindling fire on the Sabbath day if it was that necessary. All we do is go right into the book of Exodus chapter 35, and you see when Moses said kindle no fire on the Sabbath day, and we automatically assume that he's talking about a literal fire kindling. But according to the scriptures, we're going to think for ourselves, and we're going to use scriptures so we properly think for ourselves because we know what's written in the pages of the book. So the precept is a question. And through the grace of God, maybe this can break the yoke and break the chains and break the bonds of the people to understand that when this Lord is talking about keep the Sabbath day holy, He's talking about resting your body. And then if you want to really know the nitty-gritty of what the Most High God is talking about, then He gave us common sense. He gave us a new invention. It's called the dictionary. And you can use certain things in the Urban Dictionary or the dictionary we have, but just to make sure that you really got the proper definition of a word, we'll look it up in the Old Testament in Hebrew, and if we're dealing with anything in the New Testament, we know how to look it up in the Greek just to understand what the prophet is saying. So in case if we have any issues with anything, we have way more than enough information to put two and two together and read it and look it up for yourself instead of listening to what a man is telling you, you know. But if you don't want to kindle fire on the Sabbath day, then, hey, God bless you. You do what you feel right in your heart. But if somebody decides that they want to do it, you shut your mouth and hold your peace. And don't look at no brother at a different way because he wants to kindle a fire on Sabbath day because the Lord has showed him some interesting things. And I heard that the Rapaholic will be reading for me today. You all right, Brother Obadiah?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, big buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Oh, what's good, baby? Man, this the guy that started our introduction on the Bible Blog Talk Show when you first call in. You know, I have no skills in rapping, but you know he teared up the pieces, bro. So it's a blessing. I'm very glad that you able to be my armor bearer today, bro. So grace and peace, bro, and peace be unto you and your household.
Amen. You as well.
Amen.
Amen, bro. Go ahead, bro. We got some sauce today, man. You know.
You want me to?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to yap my mouth full. I'm going to bump my gums for a little quick second, and we're going to get started. Yeah, my bad. You know, I got to get into the mood before we get started. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's always good.
Oh, yeah, amen. All praises, bro. So, brothers and sisters, you know, it's time for us to get into this precept, you know, and have an open heart when you do this lesson. You know, don't ham yourself up like a lettuce. But at the same point in time, is the book always tells us to reason with one another. We need to reason with one another. So before you look at my precept that the Father put on my heart as a negative, you need to reason with it. Pull your scriptures out and show me why you disagree with this. Because the Lord has provided us with a whole lot of scriptures to show that it's a strong, an ultimate strong possibility that it's talking about something different and it's not talking about a literal fire kindling. I'm looking at this conversation more as a metaphor because when you read your Bible, you can understand that just the Bible is basically kind of set up like riddles and metaphors and parables all through the Bible. Nakomi did it with the numbers. Job did it with the creation, and the Lord allowed me to do it with the vain and hubris knowledge of men. So, brothers and sisters, I'm gonna ask the sisters to cover your head, face east towards Jerusalem, and I'm gonna ask the brothers to uncover their head, face east towards Jerusalem. We're gonna pray in. I'm gonna start as on the Lord's Prayer. And then Brother Obadiah, I'm so excited and glad you're reading for me. He would be more happy to pull a scripture out of the Bible and read whatever the Father put on his heart. So I'm gonna give you guys a second to get there and we go ahead and take these scriptures up to shreds. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay, thanks. Unto the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of the mouth. O ye of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord your God. He is judgments. His judgments are in all the earth. He have remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. I read Psalms 105, 1 through 8. May God bless the hearers and hearers and doers of his holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, bro. That was that smoke, bro. All praise. Man, bro, one more time, bro. Thanks a lot, man, for being an armor bearer for me this morning. I'm excited, man. I'm excited and I'm glad, man. All praises, bro. All praises. All right, so now, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to reason together. It's time for us to reason together. And as always, when you're dealing with the Bible Blog Talk Show to Spirit, Meekness, and Charity, it's time for us to tear these scriptures off to shreds, pure razor blades, and lemon juice. It's time for us to understand what the Father really meant about this fire kindling and why did Moses put kindling fire in a different light. Moses put kindling fire in a different conversation. When you really buckle down and see what Moses was talking about, that conversation, verse 3's conversation is different from verses 1 and 2 because verses 1 and 2 gave you your punishment. There was no punishment for verse 3. Because if they both were the same thing, it would have said, kindle no fire on the Sabbath day, don't prepare no food, don't work, don't labor. If you do, you shall surely die. But ye shall surely die was only in verses 1 and 2. Well, only in verse 2. Verse 3 was a whole different conversation. And the reason why verse 3 was a whole different conversation is because he was talking about another fire. You shouldn't be kindling on the Sabbath day. And the reason why I believe it don't give a punishment is because God is merciful. He is merciful. He know that we all ain't going to get this thing right. But at the same point in time is you can try to get it right. Because even on the Sabbath day, on your best day, you might fall 20 times. In heart. And out doing out the rest of the week, you're trying to deal with everything else. So the reason why I believe it wasn't a punishment for kindle no fire on the Sabbath day in verse 3 is for some fact is that God is a very merciful God and do the best you can to watch your mouth and your behavior on the Sabbath day, which also means kindling fire. So Brother Obadiah, Big Bro, let's go to Book of Exodus 35. The Book of Exodus 35. And what we're going to do, we're going to pick this book up in verses 1. The Book of Exodus chapter 35. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 1. So we can go ahead and get down to nitty gritty and understand what the conversation is talking about when it's talking about kindling fire. And what we're also going to do is we're going to talk about cooking. We're going to talk about work. We're going to talk about preparing. We're going to talk about all those things to see if we can get a more in-depth understanding of what the word no fire means. Because you got to bring all this stuff up. But the main thing God don't want us to do is work on a Sabbath day. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Exodus chapter 35, the book of Exodus chapter 35, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3, the book of Exodus 35, verses 1 through 3. When you get it, Brother Obadiah, go ahead and read.
And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day.
Now, if you see how this thing is set up, now verse 2 say this. Okay, Moses gathered the congregation together, right, the children of Israel. And verse 2 says, 6 days shall work be done. On the seventh day there should be to you an holy day. A Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. That's the punishment. If you do work, you shall be put to death. But when you look at verse 3, it said, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. But it don't say ye shall be put to death because it's a different conversation. You already got the punishment, and the punishment is in verse 2. If you work, you will be put to death. You will die if you work on the Sabbath day. That's all in verse 2. That's the punishment. But the conversation is different in the book of Exodus chapter 35, verse 3. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Now, if it was talking about the exact same thing and the exact same conversation, then surely
verse 3 would have been scooped in verse 2. It would have said, 6 days shall work be done, but on the Sabbath day there should be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work, whosoever kindled a fire and prepped a food and do all sorts of cooking on the Sabbath day, ye shall be put to death. But according to the scriptures, you don't see nothing like that, because these two things are different conversations. Verse 2 is the punishment. Verse 3 is a different conversation. So what we have to do is stop the precept for a second and look some of these words up on what the word work means. So this is the definition of work in a noun. Okay, this is work. Work means labor. Labor means work, especially hard physical work. Exertion is physical or mental effort. Physical labor and, well, okay, I put my own thing now. But it's physical or mental effort. But the physical mental effort is working. Dudery, hard labor, cleaning up the house, all those type of things considers work. And also, it means dudery. Dudery is just another word that people use for slaves. Because, you know, according, you know, when we was enslaved, you know, about 400 some years ago, you know, with the picking cotton and all that kind of stuff, and definitely in the land of Egypt and out through all our generation, we should know 100% exactly what the word dudery should mean. It's just another word for hard labor work for slavers. Or is it slavery hard work? Think of Egypt. Think of the excessive hard work we done. That is dudery. Now, the next thing we have is task. And it means a piece of work to be done or undertaken. Duty, a task or action that someone is required to perform. All of these things are pertaining to work. Hard labor, dudery. But when you look these words up in definition, you don't see cooking. Well, I can't even use the word cook, because we're going to understand what the word cook means too. So all we're going to say is make. All we can say now to be on the safe side is making food. You see nothing on here about making food, because making food for yourself and for your family is not considered work. Getting yourself food and eating, chilling, relaxing does not recommend us working. Because that's why when Moses put that ye shall surely put to death, he specifically put that in verse 2, and verse 3 was not that same conversation. Because maybe kidding or fighting on Sabbath day is a different conversation. Kidding or fighting on Sabbath day is a strong possibility of being a metaphor. But in order for us to know that, we got to study to show ourselves approved and look through the scriptures to see what the Father was talking about. So that is the definition of work. It means labor, dudery, exhaustion, toil, task, and duty. So now what we have to do is, brothers and sisters, is try to put two and two together. Because a lot of people be talking like, well, you're not supposed to cook on the Sabbath day. You can't cook on the Sabbath day. No, you can't do that stuff. You can't cook. You can't kindle no fire. You can't do all this other kind of stuff. But none of us took the time out to look the word cook up in the definitions. I did. And a cook is completely different than what you think it is. And I got the scriptures to prove it. Did you know that a cook is nothing but a guard and bodyguard? And when you look the word up in the Hebrew's definition on the word cook, it says a cook is a guard and a bodyguard. The guards and bodyguards are those that prepare the food for the people. You know, you had your women doing their thing and stuff like that, but they call cooks women. But we're not really too much dealing with that, because I didn't have the time to be dealing with that. We would have been here all day. But through the grace of God, we'll get into the cook's woman. But right now, we're just dealing with a cook, because that's the word we use. You cannot cook on the Sabbath day. You can't be doing no cooking. you know. So what I did was I looked this stuff up. So what I'm going to do is, because we got to break this stuff down, we got to understand what these words mean so we can get a better understanding of what the prophets is talking about. So this is what we're going to do. We're in a strong concordance in 2876. This is a strong concordance, 2876. And the word cook means to back in Hebrew, in the Hebrew tongue. And this is the synonyms for tabak, which is cook. It means bodyguard, cook, and a guard. And when you look the help word studies up, it says a cook who also killed the animals for food and served it, right? But it already tells you what a cook is. A cook is nothing but a guard or a bodyguard. So when you're talking about you're not supposed to cook it on the Sabbath day, though none of us had that type of money, power, and position to have yourself guards and bodyguards to prepare your food for you, because that definition is given to him. The guard and bodyguard are the cooks. And we got a whole bunch of scriptures to prove that fact. So when we use the word you shouldn't be cooking, that's an error, because that's given to the guards and bodyguards. Guards and bodyguards are cooks. Remember that conversation. So let's look at some positions of a cook, which is the guard and bodyguard. Let's go in the book of Samuel chapter 9. Well, let me see which one it is. I know it's Samuel. Let's see if it's 1 Samuel. Excuse me. I forgot to put the 1 or 2. Let's see. Let's go to this one. Let me see if it's 1 Samuel. Let's see. 9. Yep. It's 1 Samuel. It's the book of 1 Samuel. Forgive me, brothers and sisters. It's the book of 1 Samuel. It's the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9. So now what we're going to do is we're going to read a couple of stories in the Bibles on the definition of a cook, because it just told us in the Hebrew definition that a cook is a guard and bodyguard. So now we should be able to understand the conversations when they do certain things according to the book. So what we're going to do is go into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, and what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 23. The book of 1 Samuel 9, verse 23, just that one verse. Well, we're going to read 23 and 24. We're going to read 23 and 24. All right, bro, when you get it, go ahead and read.
And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it upon Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day.
All right, amen. So now what we have to do is pick up a story of a cook. So this is just to let you know, this conversation that Samuel was having at verse 23, it says, and Samuel said unto the cook. So we should already know that Samuel was actually talking to one of the soldiers. All Samuel was doing is talking to the soldiers, because remember, they was in battles in all with the Philistines at that time. And the people wanted a king, so you already know the manner of things that they've done. But Samuel is talking to one of the soldiers. He's talking to a guard, which is a cook, because cook is nothing but a guard or a bodyguard. So what we're going to do is just keep breaking this thing down. So what I'm going to do is go right back into the definition of cook in the 2876. The word cook, which means a guardsman, a bodyguard, or a cook. And this is the help word studies for this word. Help word studies for the word cook. From tobak, properly a butcher, hence a life guardsman, because he was acting as an executioner. Also a cook, usually slaughtering the animal for food, is known as a cook or guard. Because cooks are nothing but guards and bodyguards, brothers and sisters. So now what we have to do is give five into this conversation. Because now, since we looked at this word cook, right, but we're going to get back into this word cook, because there's a lot of things I want to try to prove in a matter of time. So we understand what a cook is. A cook is nothing but a guard or a bodyguard. We understand when Moses was talking about you should be put to death, that was a conversation from verses 1 through 2, and verse 3 was a whole different conversation. But what we're doing first is breaking down the things we consider kindling fire, and we use the word cook. And we just found out that the word cook is nothing but a guard or a bodyguard. So let's just let you know that it is men that is set up with authority and power that has given other people those positions as soldiers or common soldiers. They prepared the food. They prepared the food. They got the things, and they took care of those things. And this is another reason why we can't really look at it as an actual fire kindling is because of this. Let's go on to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Ooh, we got some feedback. I just heard my name, like, I just heard my voice 12 different times. So what we're going to do is we're in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And all we're going to do, well, hold up. I'm in 1 Corinthians. So we're in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And all we're going to do is read verse 1. And this is the reason why we got to constantly keep looking this stuff up. Because we already talking about cooks. We already talking about kindling the fire. We already talking about all these other things. And the reason why we can't really point the finger at it as being an actual fire kindling is because of this verse right here. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. That one verse, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established.
Plain and simple. It says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So if that was an actual fire kindling that Moses was talking about, you should be able to find Joshua. You should be able to find Caleb. You should be able to find the former prophets. You should be finding King David, King Solomon, etc. You should be finding out and seeing that these brothers mention anything about kindling no fire on the Sabbath day. You can't find that nowhere. The only time you can hear this conversation like that is when Moses said it. So you can't really even call that an actual fire kindling is because you can't find that nowhere else in the Bible. But when you look at fire kindling in other areas with kindling your anger and wrath and causing a fire to be upon wood with people's anger and talebearing, you can find a truckload, billion multitude of scriptures on that. So in order for a fact to be established, we have to point our finger more to your actions and behavior, because you can find that between 12 to 13 prophets about kindling fire. But you can't find that with kindling fire on the Sabbath day unless that you go to that conversation, Exodus 35 verses 1 through 3. So what we're going to do is look at this fire kindling. Let's go on to the book of James. You know what? No, we're not going to the book of James. I can't believe I forgot my favorite part. You know what? It was in the scriptures. Forgive me, brothers and sisters. Before we go anywhere else, we got to finish up the conversation with the cooks, guards, and bodyguards. Forgive me on that because I skipped one of my verses. Forgive me on that, brothers and sisters. So getting back into the conversation of the guards and bodyguards, you know, because the word guards and bodyguards only mean cook, guardsmen, and stuff like that, right? And this is what we have to do is get a 3D proof and understanding in the Bible when it's talking about a cook being guards and bodyguards, so we understand it go 100% with the definition in the Hebrews. So let's go into the book of Genesis chapter 40. We're in the book of Genesis chapter 40. And what we're going to do is read verses 1 and 2. so we can understand that cooks are guards and bodyguards, according to the scriptures and the definition. The book of Genesis 40, verses 1 through 2. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and the Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers.
That's a fact established, brothers and sisters. So now, according to verses 1 and verse 2, has just showed us we have no business using the word cook when it comes to cooking on the Sabbath day, because none of us have no gods or bodyguards. So we can't even use the word cook. And let's go ahead and break this thing down. In verse 1, it said, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker, right, two cooks, had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers. So you got your God, so you got your cooks in verse 1. And you got your cooks in verse 1, and you got your gods and bodyguards in verse 2. Right there in our face. That's right there in our face. You got butlers and bakers in verse 1. And in verse 2, you got your gods and your bodyguards. In verse 2, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. So when you even read your Bible, the Bible don't even support your conversation that you have in this westernized world. They don't even add up. But everybody is scared to death to turn in their aisle loan on a Sabbath day because they think they're offending God, but not knowing that you might be offending man that brought it to you, because you can't find that written in the book. So it's not the cooking of the fire kindled on the Sabbath day the problem. The problem is man and their vain and hubris knowledge. That's the problem. So you're not afraid of what the book say. You're afraid of what man said. You're not afraid of what thus said the Lord according to fire kindling, which is your action and behavior. You're afraid of what that man is saying to you that's presented itself in front of you. That's who you're afraid of. And that's why it is so important to understand what the scripture said when the Bible said, do not lord over the Lord's heritage. So now you got these people afraid and scared on something that's not simply written in the book because you don't have enough scriptures to prove it. But what we can prove is that according to the scriptures, you can find a multitude of conversations on guards and bodyguards and who the real cooks is. And you can also use kindling the fire in a multitude of scriptures on people's behaviors. And you can't find no kindling the fire according to kindle no fire on the Sabbath day. Besides one time that Moses said that I think we woefully misunderstanding. So just be mindful of that. So now let's go right back into where we left off at. So now we've got to look more about this kindling fire now. So now, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it said, a fact is established between two or more witnesses. We only got one saying on kindling fire, right? We only got one of those. So we can't use that. That got to be a metaphor because it just don't have enough information. So what we're going to do is use the scriptures we have that resembles kindling fire. And we have to roll with that because that's a fact established. Kindling fire on the Sabbath day ain't a fact established because you only hear one time. But we got to look at things that are a fact established. So what we're going to do is go into the book of James chapter 3. 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 And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, Brother Obadiah. The book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Will you get it, big bro? Go ahead and read for me.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body.
So now when we're looking at this conversation, it says, for if many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to also to bridle the whole body. So now when you go back to that conversation, book of Exodus chapter 35, verses 1 through 3, don't you think the Lord will want you to be a perfect man on the Sabbath day? To hold your peace, to watch your mouth, and try your best to be a perfect man? A man is also able to bridle his whole tongue. That man that can hold his mouth right. A man that can hold an upright conversation. Women who's not in corners whispering and backbiting and pointing a finger at other people and to call fire kindling from the Lord and that person you're talking about. Don't you think that those are the characteristics that God wants his servants to have on the Sabbath day? Because remember, this whole conversation is resembling fire kindling. Go ahead and read, bro.
Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which thought they be so great, are driven out of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on the fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell.
Right, so now we can find a multitude of scriptures on your tongue kindling fire. You can find a whole lot of scriptures on that matter, on kindling fire. So when you look at this conversation, the Lord is telling you a man that can hold his mouth right is a perfect man, you know, and he's not out there putting his mouth on people and talking wicked against people. It says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on the fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So is this the fire kindling that Moses was talking about that God don't want you doing on the Sabbath day when it said kindle no fire on the Sabbath day? Is it just saying watch your mouth on the Sabbath day? Is it saying don't be provoking your brothers and sisters to anger? Or is it just saying don't be out there telling people secrets? Or is it saying don't be a talebearer and put your mouth on people and revealing people's secrets on secrets they told you? Could it be that type of fire kindling that the Most High God was talking about that he want Moses to do to show the people in Israel that he don't want them doing on the Sabbath day? Could it possibly be that type of fire kindling? So this is the reason why I'm saying that it's a possibility that that was strictly a metaphor when Moses was talking about kindle no fire on the Sabbath day. It's talking about watch your mouth and watch your behavior on the Sabbath day. Because we simply looked up the word work. It is referred to nothing about making food on a definition. Because making food for you and your family or getting yourself something to eat is not a sign of you working. Working is when you put your shoes on to go out there and labor and take care of a whole bunch of work and go to work and stuff like that and prepare the house, clean the house or whatever. That's what God the one is doing. But you're looking at this kindling of fire, this is starting to be more of a conversation on watch your mouth. And don't be putting your mouth on people. Don't be telling people secrets. Don't be no talebearer. And don't be causing anger amongst one another. That's also another word for fire kindling or just kindling fire. So what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 7. Pick it up at verse 7. Go ahead and read, bro.
For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. full of deadly poison. Therewith, blessed we God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be.
And definitely on the Sabbath day. Kindle no fire on the Sabbath day. Because this whole conversation is about kindling fire. Watch your mouth on the Sabbath day. Don't be putting your mouth on people. Learn to talk right. Speak upright words to your brothers. Don't be full of maliciousness, which is spite, proud, and boastful, to cause things to piss your brothers and sisters off. Don't be doing none of that on my day. You shouldn't be doing it no days, but you make sure you put an upper portion of that to make sure you keep yourself right on the Sabbath day. So now we're looking at this conversation that Moses could have been having is a lot different than how it's been brought to us, brothers and sisters. So now what we have to do is go look through some scriptures on kindling fire and kindling anger. So what we got to do now is let's go into the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 30. Book of Genesis chapter 30. And what we're going to do is read verses 1 through 2 so we can look more at this fire kindling. The book of Genesis 30, verses 1 through 2, just some two verses. When you get it, go ahead and read, bro.
And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob angered and was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who have withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?
Right? So Jacob's wife caused fire to be kindled against her husband, Jacob, because of this whole matter not having a baby. She tried to put that in this kind of position, and he got angry, mad, and just let her know, man, this got to be between all I can do is, you know, we can just do the nasty. And if Lord wants you to get pregnant, then you get pregnant. If not, why are you coming to me with this? If the Father wants you to have a baby, you will have a baby. But all attention I'm showing you, and definitely how he loved Rachel, is pretty sure he ain't never miss a beat anyway. So why are you causing me to, why is you kindling the fire? Why is you causing my fire to be kindled with this stupid conversation? His wife made him angry. And his fire was kindled. I said that so I can put that on your mind for a second. Now let's go to the book of Lamentations, verse 4. The book of Lamentations, verse 4. The book of Lamentations, verse 4. And all we want is verse 11.
That's verse 4. Verse 11.
Amen.
The Lord has accomplished his fury, and he has poured out his fiery anger, or his fierce anger, and hath kindled a fire in Zion, and hath defiled the foundations thereof.
Now, how do you do that? By pissing God off. You know, I know we all in this flesh, you know, we all got things, we're working on and stuff like that, but, you know, there's a point that you can do so much that you go piss God off and you go kindle his fire. Moses did that to him when Moses was constantly kept down himself after the Lord told him to go deliver the children of Israel. You can cause anger with your mouth and your behavior that can irritate and anger your brothers, and you can also irritate and anger God. Back kindling fire, brothers and sisters. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of, we're going into the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Because you can find, I just grabbed a couple of things up, but if you do your own, if you do your own research, brothers and sisters, you'd be surprised at the things you can find out about Kindle No Fire. Because if you can find all this stuff, and the Lord said in the book of 2 Corinthians 13:1, between two or more scriptures, a fact is established, then you will see why a lot of people are starting to look at that kindling of fire Moses was talking about a little bit different. Because in order for you to agree with something, you got to prove it in another spot and area in the Bible, either Apocrypha. But I've did my research, and I haven't found it so far. Only time I've seen kindling of fire on the Sabbath day was when Moses was talking about it. But you can find a multitude of billions of scriptures on kindling of fire all out the Bible from the New and Old Testament. So we're in the book of Proverbs chapter 26. The book of Proverbs 26. The book of Proverbs 26. And what we're going to do is pick this up at we're going to pick it up at verse 19. Let me see here. Another bit of a strife. Let me see. Okay, that's lawful. Okay, we're going to pick up at verse 17. We're going to do verse 17 through 22. We're going to do Proverbs 17 through 22. As a matter of fact, give me one second. Sorry about that. I promised my daughter we're going to Monkey Joe's today. She's been bothering me for a whole week. She's just coming up here looking all sad face. I let her know, baby. We're still going after the precept. So, okay, we're in the book of, Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to pick it up at, verse 17. And we're going to read verses 17 through 22. All right, brother, when you get it, go ahead and read.
He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a man.
Hey, you know what, bro? I'm so sorry. Give me one second, okay?
Okay.
I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm so sorry, brothers and sisters. Everybody and mama want to call me as soon as the precept started. As soon as I'm getting down to it, here they come. That was an important phone call that I had to take. I'm sorry about that. I hate doing that during the lesson, but we're back
okay.
Now. Forgive me for that, brothers and sisters. Okay,
yeah.
So go ahead. Go on and start at 17 again, bro. I'm sorry.
He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by his ears, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death.
Uh-huh.
He is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth.
Right, so this is why we got to constantly. So this is why we got to constantly keep going back to this conversation with the children of Israel, because the Lord already did call us before the Lord. Before the Lord even told Moses in the Book of Exodus 35 verses 1-3, before Moses even said kindle no fire on the Sabbath day, before he even said that, the Lord has already called the children of Israel a stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-headed generation of people. You know what I'm saying? So you can just only imagine the things they was doing towards one another and to God to make sure you always keep people's fire kindled. You know, but the book just said, where there is no wood, the talebearer ceases, right? So if you're not giving him no chance or opportunity to start no crack with their mouth, then they're going to go away. Remember, in order for a talebearer to be kindled in fire, he has to do what? He got to talk to somebody. He got to talk to somebody, and somebody got to be stupid enough to tell him their business for him to start his nitty-gritty. So we need to understand that talebearers is among us. I don't care how long you knew him. Because let me tell y'all this little story, right? I'm pretty sure you guys heard this story, but this is actually a pretty awesome story, you know, and how to keep ourselves ready. So this is the conversation. This is the conversation, brothers and sisters. This is the story I want to tell you guys. You know, it's about a frog and a scorpion, right? This is the frog and scorpion conversation, right? So it was, okay, so the frog was swimming, right? The frog was swimming, you know, minding his own business, doing his own thing, right? But, you know, scorpions have poison in them. So, you know, the poison, so the scorpion was on the other side. He was like, hey, frog, come over here, man. I need a ride to the other side of the sea. I need a ride so I can go ahead and hit the grass up a little bit or whatever. The frog was like, no, man, you a scorpion, man. You sting people, man. You poisonous. Man, come on, man. Just give me a ride. Give me a ride, man, so I can go ahead and get from over here because if I swim, I'm going to drown. Come on, frog. Help a brother. Man, come. Come on, man. Help a brother out, man. Nah, man, I can't do that, man. Because if you jump on my back, surely you're going to sting me, poison me, we both go die. Man, would I do that to you? If I sting you, I'm going to die with you. So the frog was like, oh, all right, man, come on. Hop on. So the scorpion hopped on the frog back. They're both swimming. And about time they made it halfway there, well, there's no way of hopping on to no other type of dry land, the scorpion stung him. And he was like, man, what the hell? Why you sting me? Now we both gonna drown and die. Won't tell you what the scorpion said? He said, I can't help it. It's in my nature. If you understand that story, you understand about people you're dealing with, you understand about how people put their mouths on other people, and you just learn how you need to separate yourself from one another if you understood the story of that metaphor. You can't help somebody or do something for somebody if it's in their nature. So the frog was on his merry way doing his own business, but he lost his life and died because he helped the scorpion, which did something that was in his nature. So you can't even get mad at the scorpion. You got to get mad at yourself because you know it was in his nature, but you dropped the ball and took a chance on doing it. So we have to make sure we don't surround ourselves among talebearers because they do what? They reveal secrets. And if you tell them the juicy stuff in your lifestyle or your lifetime or even big demons you're fighting with, guess what? They go tell somebody. And that's going to make you want to do what? Knock their teeth out their mouth. It's going to make you be unrighteous and unholy to that person because of their big-ass mouths. But if you tell somebody secrets, it's going to make you want to knock them out. But you got to understand this is what talebearers do. They only dare to cause more trouble. They only dare to cause more strife and debate. They only dare to make sure to keep the fist smacking and smiting with the fist because that is their entertainment because it's in them to be like that. This is also another conversation we had yesterday when Jude was talking about that you have some men who crept in unawares. So it's in their nature. It makes us stupid when we entertain them. So be mindful with that. So now this is this conversation we have with the talebearer. So what do we leave off, brother Obadiah? Let me read the whole thing. What verse we on?
Was it 26, right? Chapter
26. Oh, you know what? We're gonna pick it up at verse 20. Let's pick it up at verse 20.
Yeah, that's
26 and 20. 20. All right, amen.
Where no wood is, there is the fire. There the fire goes out. So where there is no tailbearer, the strife ceases. As coals are the burning coals and wood to fire, so is the continuous man or contentious man to kindle strife. The words of the talebearer are as wounds, and they that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. Where he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whoso or whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and are flattering, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin.
Now, every single thing we just read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verses 19 through 28, yeah, we had to read all that. We couldn't chop that up. So we're gonna put 28, right? So this is conversation. So let's pick this thing up at verse 22. It said the words of a talebearer are as bones, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Right? Because you got to remember, if you amongst a talebearer and you haven't waited until the Lord showed you if that man is, made sure that, you know, you wasn't snared by your words by calling this man your friend. Man, we got a little bit of feedback in the back.
Hold on.
Okay.
All right, amen. Amen. Right? So the book said a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And it's showing you that when you tell somebody your secrets, or if you tell somebody a thorn in your flesh, or if you're trying to fight big demons and you think you trust this man or woman, and they go up and tell your business, that hurts so bad, it's like a pain and an ache in your stomach. It's like wounds, like somebody just jabbed you in the side with a knife. It hurt that bad. What if you was dealing with some real big demons and you was trying to talk to a brother and found out he was a talebearer about your secrets? Because I did that once and I'd never do it again. I had me some couple of issues I was dealing with. And come to figure out, that person told a couple of other people. And then after I moved out on my own, come to figure out about 10, 15 people know something that was really dear to me, a thorn in my flesh, and things I was bothered with and hurt with and things that I tried to overcome. It hurt. Because it make you think, man. It's like, dang, I told that person something. They swore to me that they won't say nothing. But then as soon as you go on by your own business, they go let everybody know your business. That hurts, brothers and sisters. It hurts big time. Because you sit here thinking you trust in this person. You thinking you trust this individual. You thinking that, you know, this person's going to pray for you. You know what I'm saying? Help you out and stuff like that. Help you get on your feet or whatever. With whatever issue you're dealing with that you hold dear and it's personal to you. That's a supreme time and opportunity for a talebearer to work in his actions, to do what he do best. Grab that wood and throw it in the fire, and he about to have himself a good time. What if it was something real personal, and y'all get into it, and you throw out a scripture or whatever? What do you think they going to say? You can't say that because you blase, 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 blase. The apostle could talk about that. Be careful with who you tell your personal business to. You make sure you talk to somebody that's mature enough to handle your problems. Because amongst 1,000 elders, you should have yourself one amongst them. Don't be going out there telling everybody your problems and your issues and stuff like that, because they might not be mature enough to take them. You might tell them that you having this problem or you fighting with something. That might make them look at you as not as if you're not even human, or like they better than you, or that they stop talking to you because you dealing with this in the flesh. But the Bible simply said in the Bible that there ain't none righteous, no, not one. So if somebody trusts you enough to tell you your problems, you got to make sure they're not a talebearer, because all it's going to do is hurt you. It's going to hurt you, and it's going to get you angry, mad, and frustrated, and that's the time for, say, the devil to cause more fire to be burned with kindling fire, because it's going to make you want to do some really mean things to that person that was talking. Push them down the stairs, push them in the street or whatever. Anything can pop in your mind once they already told your business. So if we don't want to get that way, we got to make sure we be careful with who we tell our secrets to, because that is a supreme way on kindling fire as well, brothers and sisters. So now let's go into the book of Leviticus chapter, the book of Leviticus chapter 19. And I have four more after this. The book of Leviticus chapter 19. Book of Leviticus chapter 19. And what we're going to do is read verse 16. Yeah, one verse. Leviticus 19 and verse 16. That one verse, when you get it, big bro, go ahead and read for me.
Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord.
Right, so don't be going up and down as a talebearer. You know what I'm saying? You grab your own little group in the corner of the classes and stuff like that. How we all so woefully like that stuff. And he ain't pointing the finger and telling all type of secrets or some things that you found out. Because remember, you don't want nobody to do that to you. If you found out some stuff about somebody, man, why, don't, keep it to yourself. Or find a way to talk to our brother in secret and pray for him. Don't be up in the corners tailbearing, because you don't want nobody to do that to you. God forbid the Lord reveal a little something that you're doing to get your act right, then here come everybody and their mama looking at you, not even talking to you, making you feel all awkward and stuff. Because one person seeing you doing something and come to figure out, the whole congregation though. I don't care how right they think they are. I guarantee you the Lord don't like it. And he will deal with you. So let's not be talebearers amongst one another. And if the Lord puts you in a position to help somebody, then help them. And even if you do know, hold your peace and pray for them. Because I had to learn the hard way, brothers and sisters. I had to learn the hard way. I mean, before I even turned 30 years old, I thought I was a walking image of God. I thought that my clothes were so white and sparkly clean, couldn't nobody touch me. And the Lord revealed to me that I have lost my damn mind. He revealed so many issues I have that I might be working for the rest of my life. Everybody has an issue they're dealing with in the flesh, thoughts or whatever. So if you want the Lord to keep your MO between you and him, you see somebody else's MO, hold your peace and don't be a talebearer, because that stuff hurts. So let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 11. We got three more after this. The book of Proverbs 11. Because now, right now, what we're doing is we're looking at all the characteristics of kindling fire. All this is considering kindling fire, brothers and sisters. And the only reason why I feel safe to go this way is because it's between two or more witnesses. I can't go the other way because I only found one about a supposed to be actual fire kindling. So when we're in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, the book of Proverbs chapter 11, and all we want is verse 13.
Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals the secret, but he that is of a fruitful spirit conceals the matter.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So those are two different things. Don't be a talebearer. Be a faithful man and have that faithful spirit. Amen. Now let's go into the book of Romans chapter 14. You know, because now the reason why we're going here is, you know, if you still don't want to, you know, cook or anything like that, hey, I love you. God bless you. You know, do what you feel right in your heart or whatever the Most High has been showing you. This precept is just to show you that it's a strong possibility it can be something completely different. And we're using the scriptures to show it. So if you believe that this is talking about an actual fire kindling, then that's what you do in your household. If you go out and about and you see your brothers with their fire on the Sabbath day, don't say nothing, hold your peace, because if that person is reading the scriptures, you might get your feelings hurt after they get done with it to show you that it's something completely different. So if it's in your heart not to cook on Sabbath day, then do what's on your heart. But if you see your brother want to do something when it comes to kindle fire on the Sabbath day and he see it as a different light, then you still hold your peace and love your brother and don't look at him no type of ill way or make him think that he's sinning because he sees something different that the Father revealed to him or her. So we're in the book of Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. If we're going to read verses 5 through 12. 5 through 12. I'm not going to cut you off, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not to the Lord. And he that eateth not the Lord, he eateth not. And giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why doest thou judge thy brother, or why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Right, so you know, that ain't none of our business why they do so. You know what I'm saying? So don't be judging me on what I believe, and I won't be judging you on what you believe. You know, I might be respected in different portions of a day, but you might be respected on the same matter every day. Let every man be persuaded on his own heart. Because, man, we all got enough in us that we need to be working on to get out. I ain't got time to worry about what you're doing. And vice versa. If I'm persuaded by this, then you're supposed to still love me. And if you're persuaded by the other way, I'm still supposed to love you. You believe what you've been persuaded of, and I believe what I'm persuaded of. And we just will go from that spot. But now, if you speak evil against what I'm doing, now if you speak evil against what I'm doing, then that's between you and God. I'm almost done. Go. I'm almost done. You gotta call your grandma after this. Close the door. So that's what we gotta do, brothers and sisters. Learn how to respect one another and stop allowing ourselves to be bragging and boasting on things other people do. Let's keep the finger pointed at ourselves and let's humble ourselves. So now let's go into the last scripture of the Bible. Let's go into the last part in the Bible. Let's go into the book of Exodus. Exodus 35. In the book of Exodus 35. And we'll go read down verses 1 through 3, and let's break it down to see if it's a metaphor now. Exodus 35, verses 1 through 3, and this will be last.
Exodus 35, 1 through 3. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day.
All right, brothers and sisters. So now we found out what the punishment was. The punishment is in verse 2. Don't work on the Sabbath day. If you do, you should be put to death. That's the punishment of polluting the Sabbath day. The conversation in verse 3 is completely different. It says, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And we just looked through the scriptures and found out a multitude of them that this is a conversation talking about your mouth, your actions, your behavior, tail bearing, you know, kindling fire, throwing the wood in the fire, pointing a finger, boasting and bragging. All those type of things are characteristics that we can use that can kindle somebody's fire. And then what we also learned is going back to verse 3 in the book of Exodus chapter 35, he said, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And then according to the scriptures, the Lord allowed me to provide you with undeniable proof of ways that you can look at this to show you that it's not talking about a little fire kindling. The first thing we did, brothers and sisters, was look the word cook up. And we found out a cook is nothing but a guard and bodyguard. And then I provided you with the scriptures to show you that it are really guards and bodyguards. So when you use the word cook, you have to be in a powerful position or with money to have yourself servants or something to that matter, or guards or soldiers. That term is considered to them. So you can't use cook on the Sabbath day because those are referring to guards and bodyguards. And we went to the book of Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 2, to show you the bakers and the officers, to show you that it was undeniable proof that they are guards and bodyguards, which are cooks. And then we went to the scriptures to show you about the fire kindling. The fire kindling that I believe that Moses was talking about in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verses 3. To watch your mouth and don't be tail-bearing, putting your mouth on people on the Sabbath day. And we also went to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, to show the brothers and sisters is that a fact is established between two or more witnesses. And we just gave you a multitude of scriptures to show you a fact established on kindling a fire when you're dealing with your behavior and your mouth and what you do with people and how you tail-bear with people. We didn't do nothing with the Sabbath day because we don't have proof of written scriptures about kindling no fire on the Sabbath day, but Exodus 35 and 3. And we just showed you what he was talking about. So through the grace of God, I hope you got an understanding on this precept that is called the fire kindling on the Sabbath. Was it a metaphor or no cooking? So through the grace of God, I hope we got an understanding on it, and I thank y'all for your time.
Good job.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I praise the Father. Now I turn things over to Brother Job and Sister Ram. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. I always like this lesson, Brother Isaiah, and good reading, Brother Obadiah. How you doing?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, bro, you did your thing, bro. We got through them scripts, man. All praise to the Father, man. It'd be nice if you do them often for me, man, or for the brothers. All praise.
Amen.
You did your thing, bro.
I love the laugh, Obadiah.
Great lesson.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, Israelites. Grace and peace. Great precept. I love the idea. I love that fact that you brought up about the Egyptian cooks and being security guards at the same time, and then breaking down the definition. Man, that was so on point. And out of the mouth of two of my witnesses, let every word be established. That was phenomenal. As far as kindling the fires on the Sabbath day, man, the book say let us reason together. And you think about those things, man, if it's sub-zero and it's the Sabbath day, what are you going to do? So obviously he's not talking about that, because he
right.
said keep the Sabbath in all your dwellings. So if you're in the northern part of the world, if you're in the southern part of the world, or whatever part of the world you are, and if it's the Sabbath day, if this temperature is above or beneath, or even if you have to transport yourself from one place to the next, in order for you to get to a place to the next, you have to kindle a fire inside of your car. You have to ignite it. You have to blow the gases, burn the gas to get to where you got to go, which is fire. To have the lights on to read what you're reading, that's fire. When the brothers kept the Sabbath in the evening, did they use any candles? Well, you already know. You know, what did we do at the Sabbath in the evening? We just sat in the dark? No. What was the reasoning behind that? What's the greater condemnation? Sowing discord among the brethren. You know, just let us reason together. So with all of that being said, man, brother ain't saying go out here and just be wilding on the Sabbath. He just said that be careful what you're picking and choosing, what is lawful and what isn't. I yield the mic with that, but great precept, brother, and thank you for the upgrade.
All praise to the Father, man. No one teaches like our Father. Amen. All right, do we have any more brothers or sisters that would like to add to the precept, or they have anything they'd like to say? Now's your time. Well, forever hold your peace.
Great lesson, Brother Isaiah.
Hey, sister. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great reading, Brother Obadiah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, Sister Mary.
That is
Sister
Ray. Mary.
Yeah, I was so used to saying Sister Mary first, then Sister Ray. I'm sorry. Well, have
I
have
wanted to say something,
y'all.
But I don't want to sound too yucky. But that one piece that you brought about the tale bearing, revealing secrets, things like that, you would have thought I learned after my fifth time revealing mm-hmm. my secret to people that I thought were mature to handle my secret. I know we trust the true and living God, but sometimes, I say, God, can I just have somebody here on earth, just one person that I can physically talk to, you know? But now I understand all things go to the Father and his throne, and I leave it there and I let him do his work. But that thing about terror bearing, revealing secrets, woo, I would never do that to anybody ever, because it's been done to me, and I know how it's I know how it feels. That killing and fire and stuff, and sometimes I found out that we get upset sometimes about certain things, and then we talk to somebody about it, and it's not like trying to tell bear or anything or gossip. It's just that you're upset about something, and then that person will take it and make it into tale-bearing, gossiping, and then you're not mad about the situation anymore, whatever the situation you brought to them. So then now they are respecter of persons, and they feel a certain way towards the person that you were talking to them about. And now you feel bad because you revealed a secret, or you revealed something that was on your mind or how you were feeling to somebody that you thought was mature enough, and they found out they weren't. But now they don't like the person that you discussed with them. And then they go and they tell everybody else whatever you discuss with them. So that's a deep thing. I just wanted to tell you that I've been there. I've done that. I experienced it. I even tail-bared a long time ago. Okay, I won't say a long time ago. I'll just say I tail-bared. I'm trying to clean it up and make it look good. I've been on both sides of the fence. I'll just say that. And it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to tell bear, to gossip, and then you see the other person really trying to work on themselves, or you don't know why they went through You just don't. We all go through things, and we think we know somebody's circumstances, but we really, truly don't, unless we talk to that person physically and really get an understanding where they're coming from and why they're going through what they're going through. So I've been on both sides of the fence. I've gossiped, I tail-bared, and then found out later on that it was nothing that we thought it was, and I felt lower than dirt. And then I've been tail-bared against and gossiped on. So I said, okay, you reap what you sow. It has to come back full circle. So great lesson about killing fire. It's not about cooking. It's about this tongue, this wicked tongue. So I just asked the Father that everybody was able to listen to this precept today, that the Father really works on us, and we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, Father, help us to bridle this tongue. And especially on your Sabbath day, it's all about you and your word. Amen. So I just want to say great precept, and that just brought back that to my memory. So, amen, I yield the mic.
Amen, amen, amen. All praise, sister. Thank you for your input. You know, getting back with that, you know, the Lord really showed me something this morning before, you know, when I was working with the precept and stuff. The Lord really, I mean, he broke this thing down precisely in Genesis 34. You know what I'm saying? When you look at death and punishments. When the Lord talks about death and punishments and, like, what he's really talking about, when you read it, he be so thorough on it. And he stop it off directly on where he want his prophet to stop it off at. Like, for example, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you kindle fire, you should be put to death. But the scripture never said that. Put to death was working. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day is a whole different conversation. Verses 1 and 2 was what he wants you to do on the Sabbath day. And verse 3 is something completely different. Now is watch your mouth and your behavior on the Sabbath day when he's talking about kindling fire. So I thought that was really interesting how the Lord had Moses put this thing out in Exodus 35. God, hear the mic with that. Do we have any more answers, some more questions? Is there anything you're concerned about with the precept? Is it something that you want broken down a little bit more thorough or anything like that? Now is the time. All right, if not, I'll turn things back over to Brother Job and Sister Rhea.
Once again, great, great, great precept, Israelite. Want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown for stepping up for the Sunday morning breakfast brunch and delivering a great precept. Amen, amen. So I want to thank him for that. You can catch our brother Isaiah Brown every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. here at the Sounds of Living Waters. Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class. So with all of that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible, people. Time appointed. Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.